Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
Sean Finnegan.
What's up, everyone?
We are all back. And on today's show, we're all going to be talking about our experiences with the beta, what we think about Destiny 2. But first, some news. The Destiny 2 PC beta is arriving this August 28th for early access and on the 29th for everyone. It will run through the 31st of August, just days away from the September 6th launch on consoles. Basic PC requirements include an Intel Core i3-3250, AMD FX 4350, 6 GB of RAM, and an NVIDIA GTX 660 or Radeon 7850. Higher-end PC recommendations can be found in the description below. IGN also released an AMA with Bungie as our final piece of content for this month's IGN First. Some notable items they revealed included that Destiny 2 on consoles will not support HDR at launch, it might get it later, that your character will remain mute, and that the super recharge time will be adjusted for the full release. Thank goodness. There's a ton of other news in that AMA, so be sure to check out the full story over on IGN.com. In Destiny 1, this is the last weekend you'll have to complete any of the requirements for the Age of Triumph t-shirt. If you haven't finished it yet, this week would be a good time to hop back in as it's all over August 1st. Next week will also be the final Iron Banner in Destiny 1. As one of my favorite events in Destiny, I'll be sad to see it go. The final event will thankfully be Control. I hope I'll see you out there. Also, a note to the Destiny clan leaders out there. Be sure that you select how you would like your clan and group to transition into Destiny 2. There's a lot to go over, so be sure you hit up the Bungie.net FAQ for more. All right, guys. So, today's show, we're going to talk about our beta impressions starting PvE versus PvP. We were talking about PvP outside of the show, so let's start there. CJ, what was your loadout?
Nightshade.
Yep.
100%. That kill clip on reload was awesome. The pulse rifle, yeah. Yes.
Pulse primary.
Primary, yeah. Like, hand cannons, everything feels just a little bit different. And I don't know if you really notice it until you play PvP. Did you guys feel that, like, between PvE and PvP? PvP, big difference. PvE, yeah. Not so much.
Yeah, definitely a big difference there. For me, the loadout I went with was either the Nightshade, as you said, or Nurgle with an AR. It was like AR. You could also get away with submachine guns. Those things have some crazy range. In some cases, I think they were better than my assault rifles.
The submachine guns, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They kick all over the place.
They might have had good range, but man, they were all over the place.
You were always a couple bullets short of the kill, though, I found, in submachine guns.
Unless you're close. Unless
I think it's like sidearms. It's a lot like sidearms, right? Like up close, they're devastating. That's what submachine guns were like. But they did have range, and maybe that's what you experienced when you had a few more shots to get from far away. You just swished.
Yeah.
But overall, while, I'd be like, I did not like using submachine guns unless I was pretty close. Like sidearms.
I liked them pretty well because they did have comparable range to an assault rifle, and that rate of fire just melts people.
But the handling is so bad and like compared to
at
an auto.
Distance.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I would never say like use, you know, Scathelock was a great auto. Yeah. I would never swap in an SMG in the same way.
Definitely. Personally. So if so I was using Nightshade with the I don't remember what its name was, but there was a fire AR that you could use in your elemental damage weapon, and I would melt people with that loadout. It was awesome. Like that was my favorite one to go with. What about you, Sean?
Same thing. I used a lot of does not compute the scout rifle.
Yeah.
People
and then I would basically do that with either a scout in the secondary or a scout in the primary and an AR to back it up or to complement it. But yeah, once I got that scathlock, whatever, that seemed to be like the best weapon for my play style in the game. And I was using that almost exclusively in PvP. Even in PvE, my type of play style is like, I like to play pretty aggressive and I like to play very, like, go in, get a kill, and do mostly precision shots to get pretty kind of close up, and that's what I was running most of the time.
How did you feel about Does Not Compute's clip size and rate of fire? I felt like rate of fire was slow and that clip was too small.
Again, it was pretty small. This is 10 shots, which for a scout is like, you gotta make it count.
Yeah.
But like, it's not great for sustained DPS. I, again, mostly used it for like, okay, there's someone too far away. Precision shot, then I'd be done with it.
Yeah.
Everything else I was using, Scathlock.
But it's a very ranged game now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I found. Like, a lot of the stuff, you're either peeking around corners or hitting people long range. Like,
yeah.
It's a very odd...
But you're so afraid of team shots now.
Yeah.
With the new time to kill and stuff. Because you can't just jump in and kill someone.
When your shield's gone, you need to hide.
Pretty much, yeah. Did you play with sidearms much? I found that the sidearms
actually,
yeah, really
I
different.
Hated them.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. I
didn't mind them.
I didn't like them very
much. It was okay for PvE.
I couldn't just see a situation in where I would ever use them over something else.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I'm talking mostly PvP perspective right now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Even though we said we'd start with PvE. Yep.
No, yeah, I said PvP.
They said PvP.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I started on like hand cannon and pulse. I actually used that a lot with a fusion, but I tried to mix it up actually. I really like the Scathelock auto pulse combos, really good for sure. You guys were knocking the hand cannon. Definitely doesn't
like
feel quite right.
Minuet.
I was fine with
shot.
It. No, I was using the red one. No. Starts with
this. Better devils.
Devil
is a primary.
Better devils. I was using better devils quite a bit.
That's the one that I found when it was a hand cannon that killed me. It was always that one.
Yeah. So I like better devils, but anyway, I switched between stuff, and then I actually really like shotgun and sniper too.
Shotguns were pretty good. Snipers were good.
But yeah, main ingredient was like because you had so many shots.
Yeah.
And you could play at range like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Fusion was pretty deadly compared to stuff. Like shotgun was devastating too.
Yeah. It was,
you gotta get in there, which is dangerous.
Fusion is my favorite power weapon. Like even I found the sniper, what was the sniper called? There's one that I had in there. I forget what it's called.
The green, or something like that.
It just felt like, it felt like that was too big or too small of a map for that. Like every time I'd zoom in, I'd feel like they were in my
a control map, you mean?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it just felt like there were no lines of sight, maybe across the top middle.
Yep.
Where that was long enough for a sniper.
The two power ammos could compete if you were rocking snipers, but just get main ingredient, go in there and get your three to five kills.
Yeah, I played way better when I was using the fusion.
It felt good though. The sniper felt good.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like Icebreaker where it's laggier, it's hard to control, like
or too powerful.
Yeah, it felt tight.
It did feel like there were times when, you know, you miss a shot or you think you should, like, you take damage, and as soon as the bullet hits you, it's impossible to land a sniper shot. Like, most of the time, a good sniper shot. Yeah, but see, I don't think that's how it should be like.
The flinch was pretty
intense. The flinch was overwhelmingly, flinchy. I think if you're in Destiny 1 and in other games, if you were a skilled enough shot, you could see how much damage you were taking and feel out the, okay, it's going to drop right now and pull the trigger and still land a headshot or land a hit at least. Now it's like as soon as you take a bullet, you're like,
the flinch is super
intense.
It's
crazy.
I like that. I feel like that's how it should be. What were you going to say?
Yeah, that's what you're finding, I think, even with the hand cannons. There is way less aim assist.
Yeah.
Like absurdly less.
Yeah. Well, and the drag on stuff is different too. There's a little different speed.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, absolutely. There's just no, there is aim assist. There's just not a lot.
And I think that's the reason why you probably didn't like hand cannons as much. Like you felt
I
liked
hand cannons. Don't point at me. I told you, that's what I just said.
You did.
They were so.
Yeah. No, no.
I liked Better Devils. Yeah. You guys seem to be knocking it.
Sunshot. I'm not saying they're perfect, but it has so much recoil.
Yeah. Not for I did not like Sunshot for PvP.
Hand cannons could definitely be a lot better though. I'm not just for clarity. I'm just saying I don't think it was bad.
No, it wasn't bad. But a four tap, like, it felt way different in PvP. I didn't feel like that with PvE.
Mm-hmm. But that's awesome. Part of it. I think you're used to, like, thinking you can three tap.
Well, three tap with an eye.
You can, yeah.
But just Destiny the way, one. But just the way it aims for the head, it feels way different.
Yeah. Well, it is, it was what you were getting. That kick is pretty intense. Yeah. And to go in there with that versus just, like, scathe lock, you just laser on someone almost. It was really good stability. But hand cannon, you have to like keep resetting it every time.
You have a ton of kick and I can shoot you with my nightshade from a good distance where you're doing less damage and I've reversed you to death.
And hip firing. Like hip firing on nightshade and then like aiming in at the last second for the headshot, that actually worked really well for me.
Did any of you guys try the exotic auto rifle? What's it called? Business, new business?
Oh, the sweet business.
Sweet business, something business.
Not in PvP much. I love it in PvP.
I did. You pre-fire and then you
so it took me a little, it took me a little getting used to like firing before I see an enemy. But, after seeing, you know, the IGN first video of that, whoever was playing in that IGN first, like wrecking people with the pre-fire, I was like, I'll give this a shot. And once I wrapped my head around it, I found it to be pretty effective because that rate of fire is so fast that like, if you, especially if you get the jump on a player, by the time they know where they're getting hit from, they're dead.
Too late.
Yeah. If you've timed the pre-fire, right?
With that Titan shield too, where you can crouch
the
down.
Half shield.
Yeah, the half shield.
Did you guys like that in PvP?
Yeah, the rally shield.
I didn't like it in PvP.
Rally barrier.
That auto reload's pretty nice.
The auto reload's nice.
I like
I find it more to be effective in PvE, where like,
it depends on your placement, obviously, and your teammates, but it's pretty handy.
Yeah, but
you're going
your
up against people sometime,
like,
and you just duck and you have a full clip, and they're in the middle of a reload.
I found like I kept getting stuck on it a lot. I found like I'd cast it, and I'd still be able to get shot over the top if they were just a little elevated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I was like, in almost all situations for PvP, I feel like towering barricade's better.
Mm-hmm.
For PvE, though, where it's like, like a boss isn't going to move too far from where he is. I can see it being super effective. And that's why the auto reload would be better for sustained DPS in my head.
Just melt the bag.
You got to get used to
Before we wrap up for the PvP side, which classes do you guys play mostly?
Hunter basically the whole time.
Okay.
Titan the whole time.
Titan?
I played between all of them, actually. I tried to spend just a little bit of time with each. At first, I was like, I thought I wanted to play the Titan, and then it wasn't quite clicking because I really like Hunter in Destiny 1, and then did that for a while. And I was, you know, then I just moved around, and then I ended up back on Titan, and I actually find strength
like,
in all of them.
Like, you get
hit how it should
die.
Be.
I don't know about that.
I like the mobility on Hunter still.
Yeah.
So with the Hunter, I mostly went Golden Gun because I did not feel like Arc Strider.
Really?
Was very good. I'm making sure I got the name right.
Well, I noticed a lot now with combined fire being like a big thing where your teammates are communing. Like,
I can't even
get very difficult for Arc Striders to close the distance. Like, there were multiple times when he'd super in a good area and my team would hear it and we'd all look.
Yeah.
And he'd try and charge and we'd just burst him down dead.
Definitely, it's slow to close the gap.
That hurts as a hunter, like Blade Dancer. I mean, just flying through the sky and even just trying to approach, like it's a big difference.
I thought that like my thinking that when it was first revealed and they're doing the like crazy flips and dodges and stuff was that dodging
was going to really dodge bullets. Yeah.
Well, not in a way, but like had a sort of passive evade, like when you activate it. For 3 or 5 seconds during the first bit of your ult of the super, you'd have like plus 50% evasion. That's kind of what just had in my head. Because otherwise, why is he doing all the flips and stuff? Like, just because it looks cool? That doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't know that there's many invincibility frames in there, you know, and maybe it needs a few or something. Cause I definitely felt like, closing a gap if two people see you coming. Although Blade was a bit like that too. Like you really couldn't be getting team shot with Blade.
But it felt like you could evade way easier.
Also,
well, cause you could go in the air. That's the problem. Yeah. You can't jump
there
up.
There was
and dodge
that class had, that subclass has a blink.
Yes.
Then two, it has a ranged. Like shock effect, where like if you were this far away,
a combo first though.
Yeah, you could throw a little.
You still gotta get pretty close for that, but yeah, I mean it's a little like actually the first iteration of Golden Gun. I mean you really gotta be around people. It's not that useful to pop that and then try to like.
Did you notice that the hip fire on Golden Gun is like way less accurate?
Yeah,
like I missed a lot of shots.
So with Golden Gun, I was actually looking at the animation time. So like he pops it right. and then you waste about 1/6 of your super before you can even fire the gun. So like you have 6 seconds or fewer to actually get kills, and it's gone so fast.
Yeah. It needs to be tweaked, I think.
It needs to be tweaked for sure. Golden Gun especially, because you compare that to the other supers where you get 12 seconds?
Yeah. Well, and also think of a slam.
The Titan slam. You can do four or five of them. It's so good.
But the second perk for Golden Gun will do that. Like the one we didn't play, that's designed, I think, to extend its length. Right?
So yeah, the bottom tier is definitely.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I don't know why you would. Yeah, for PvP.
PvE, it seems like a pretty good thing to have. The fast six gun.
Yeah.
But
definitely. I feel like Hunter just, it needs to be tweaked quite a bit. Even if you look at the abilities, the joke on the internet that I saw was, stand in my healing aura, take cover behind my shield. Yeah. I can twirl and reload.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was pretty funny.
I would agree that being a big fan of Hunter and PvP now, I did feel that it was the weakest option for me. Yeah. I liked it. I didn't like hate it. But I actually, you know, I ended up the last night playing Titan because I was like, actually, going back to Titan felt pretty good. At first, I was doing terrible.
Titan's just awesome.
Titan feels very powerful, except I'm really bummed about Shoulder Charge being... Shoulder Charge feels very...
Nerfed.
Not a problem. Not a
almost very situational.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Shoulder Charge is fine now.
Overly situational.
Sure, you wanted to go back to track from like around a corner and like just taking 180 degree turns and
we were playing
out of
Bungie,
midair.
I shoulder charged for the first time and it didn't one hit kill. I'm like literally on play.
It's broken.
I get that with the TTK changes, they've made a lot of stuff not one shot.
Oh, is that why you're saying that? Because when you you're saying you can get the hits, you don't like that it's not a one shot.
No. I understand why it's not a one shot, and I'm not saying it should be a one shot, but even not being a one shot, it feels very situational. Like there are times when I'll be charging around the corner, I'll shoulder charge someone and unload, and they can still kill me before I kill them if they were just firing.
It is more thoughtful now, but you can also get away. Sometimes they don't end up bouncing out of the way that you can just like charge in melee, and it's pretty fast.
Well, that's the other thing is I definitely have turned the corner, not shoulder charging, meleeed someone, and this is something again, it's just a TTK thing or the damage of the melee, but like, you have to melee someone three times.
Yeah, melee's really weird.
I had that.
That's
a little crazy. Melee boxing matches. Like, you're spinning.
Honestly,
it's almost like armor lock.
You don't want to be in that situation, actually.
Can
you just lock up like in wrestling? Like,
have you seen that gif of the two armor locked people fighting in Halo Reach? They both just keep timing their armor locks perfectly when they're trying to melee each other, and they do it four or five times each, and then they both just die because eventually it runs out. It's so funny.
Yeah. And I will say as a caveat, we don't know if the weapons that we're playing with are like good weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
or if they're garbage vendor roles.
That's my thing is like, I kind of am wary to speculate about weapon feel and stuff because I'm sure all that's still kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You go up to a vendor, you have no idea what the role is. If you didn't know what perks were, you'd be like, oh, cool, but we could be playing just the most absolute trash weapons.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd do that.
I don't think
intentionally.
But
do you remember how much you used Cydonia in Destiny 1?
When you got Hawksaw Vendor or you got an awesome Ice Luna, it was a nice
palindrome.
Or when you got main ingredient.
Yeah.
Actually, that weapon's pretty sweet.
But
I think that's trash.
I did like the fact that you knew what you got killed with. So the non-random roll thing, big fan. Like, I actually like this a lot for PvP.
Me too. It evens the playing field in a new way, and I 100%. Think that's something it definitely needed.
Yep. I want to say, kudos to Bungie a lot on this particular beta, because overall, PvP felt way more balanced than any other part of Destiny 1 PvP felt like. Like, I think it just felt very even across the board.
The more I dumped into PvP time-wise, I was really liking the feel of it. I like I like that pulse rifles are back. I think they need to even out the weapons a little more. All in all, I enjoyed my time with it.
Nothing struck me as that's OP.
Yeah.
Right?
An ingredient.
Than the fusion, yeah.
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 But even then, you had to fight to get the power weapon on your team.
Yeah.
Oh, do you guys like the whole only one person gets it?
No.
Because here's my
weird. Thing. There's times where there's like three don't of us like standing that. There all holding square.
So
like,
here's my thing is like, yeah. I'll see that there's a guy standing there. He's waiting for the countdown. I'll run. I'll pick up my shoulder charge and then I'll push him out of the way right as it's spawning and take it. And like, I hate that I have to do that.
Yeah.
We should just all get it.
Sometimes people do hog them. Yeah. I think they need a better system for crowding around the power weapon.
When you do that, then they follow me around like, hey, you stole my heavy. Well, it wasn't your heavy.
Thank goodness there's no friendly fire because honestly, I would have killed about 10 of my teammates for that reason alone. And it's like,
oh, you have the rocket launcher? Why are you even grabbing it?
Bang. So that needs to be changed for that reason alone. Like, you'd be there and then somebody else would take it. Or, yeah, you had to see, you heard the sound. You're like looking in your ammo and you're like, what? I was here first. They just came up. So, I mean, I understand why it's more strategic. I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I don't want a ton of, you know, power running around all of a sudden because I see where they're limiting the amount of ammo that's out there. But definitely the problem is you don't know how to play rock, paper, scissors up there. That, like, you don't know, like, why didn't I get it? Or someone is just hogging it and you're like, well, it assumes that you're on communication as a real team. But, like, you're not always going to be like, hey, can I have it this time? That's not how
when you're playing with blueberries.
Most games work. Yeah, like, if you have that good fortune to have a real team, I think you'll be fine. It's like, hey, can I grab it? Cool.
Yeah.
You know,
Even if I'm playing with him, I'm going to steal it from him if I can.
Probably.
I think they need more of that rock, paper, scissors up there.
Well, yeah, it makes sense, like, if you're on a team.
Make you feel like you had a chance.
Maybe that's happening, and it's just not being communicated in the UI or anything, so.
I don't know why sometimes.
But if that doesn't change for when you're playing with random people, that's frustrating. Like, and I don't see the problem.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's the biggest issue when you think of primary versus elemental. That's the thing that changes, because you don't want everybody getting a rocket. But having a sniper, fusion, rocket, that was okay. Or shotgun, that was okay. So that's a huge fundamental change that I'm not quite sure if
maybe if the whole team suddenly had.
I mean, potentially, like, if you take it to its logical thought, like, if you're all on a team and you're communicating who should get it, for instance, the team I play with, we have two dudes who presumably in Destiny 2 will play, like, when they get a good sniper, they'll use the sniper because they're so good at sniping. If I'm on that team, that means if I want to win, I'm just going to let them get it every time. And then suddenly, I'm never playing. I never have the chance to use power weapons. Like, that kind of sucks.
And that's the goal for the communication side. So I understand why they did it. But from like a, you know, you want to actually experience some of those weapons, you could be playing the game for how long and never get a chance to have any of those weapons.
I'm fine with just one person getting it because I hated everybody running back to get power. Or you'd use your super because you know everybody's going to get power.
But there's no special box now. You don't have to. That's the issue. Right, so now you don't have the option of getting a sniper or a, you know.
No, I know that, but meaning I think it's just a matter of either if you can't communicate, you got to have a system that, like, meaning I don't know if I have a chance to win if I go there. It becomes frustrating because, like, I don't know why I lost the game.
Definitely just, understand that. Let's move on to PvE right now.
Wait, sorry, I know that you want to move on. We don't have enough time, but I did this last time on the show. I felt like we didn't give our
final answer.
Because did we like PvP? Yeah. I felt like we got soft answers from everyone.
Oh, I mean,
is that cool?
To be clearer, yes. Yeah. I liked PvP. I can't wait to hop back in. I played mostly Control. I like Control over Countdown. I think people were kind of 50-50 on that. You either like the more cooperative experience of something like Countdown, and I really enjoy Control. I've always liked Control, though.
Yep.
DJ?
Sure. Right. I'm ready.
I just wanted to say my piece on it. Like, I had trouble actually getting into it at first. I had a ton of fun at the reveal events and then at E3 because it was a different scenario. And then at first, like, I was actually kind of frustrated. It fell off. Mm-hmm. Took a while to warm up to, the new aim assist, all this stuff. But overall, especially compared to Destiny 1 right now. Feeling pretty darn good. But the super system was just not working. Glad that's being addressed.
Titan's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Warlock's pretty good.
Oh, I was just talking about the charge time.
They did address it in our AMA. I know. And buffed up. Yeah.
And like any game, like you've been saying, like honestly, we don't know the quality of the weapons and they got to balance them. Felt pretty good, but it definitely feels a little off. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel ready to go, in my personal opinion. I hope that they really have sat back to address some of the things you're talking about. Like, I don't know. It just feels a little off with Hunter, like we talked about. Like, there's a few things a little off.
They even said in the last few updates that, like, it's different.
Yeah.
Like, what you're playing in the beta, it's different today. Yeah. So,
Hopeful John? To see that.
I liked PvP overall a lot. I thought it was very balanced. I didn't feel like any of the weapons were too good. I didn't feel like any of the classes were too good. I think that the whatever the passive abilities, active abilities, the new ability, whatever the class ability you have. I think those add a really unique dimension. I found myself strategically using with my team the towering barrier all the time. I thought it was great. I like the tweaks to grenades. Like, I think they're – I was a little – I kept shorting my grenade because you're used to having the extended throw on your gloves. but I like that – now it was like, now you have a reason to use all those grenades. Before it was like, if you played Titan as a striker, lightning grenade all the time, no matter what. It was just the clearly the best one. Now there's situations where all of them
work.
The
pulse is quite good now.
Mm. Yeah. Titan. I use the pulse a lot and I use the lightning grenade a lot. Something as a Titan that I thought was really interesting was, Sentinel. Not so great. Like the
I totally
America
disagree
thing.
With you.
No, dude.
You have a shield you can throw in, so you get 2-3 kills with that immediately, and then you finish off flat.
Yeah. And the rolling super, and you can run around.
No,
and
I get it.
Shield.
I get it.
It depends on your play style. See, I'm glad I asked this question.
I thought it would be way more effective than I found it to be personally. Like I found Striker to be way more potent.
I think it's one of those that has a learning curve to it, actually. Like, not that, like, you're not good enough to play, but I mean, I think it's, like, we saw some of the pros at Bungie using it. It was crazy. They were wrecking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Different builds, of course. But I think it has a lot of potential. And I saw some clips from people like Destin's talking about where I was like, holy crap. Like, that's why I thought when I played, I'd have that magic, but it seems like you got to figure some of that out. In your
and
play
none
style.
Of that's communicated necessarily how to do all the moves. Like, it's not in the menu. Like, I read through all the combos that people
You don't know that you can, like, that you should shoulder charge, right, in the air to get distance and stuff like that, right?
Well, I'm just talking about with the super specifically for the Sentinel subclass.
Yeah, it's like you have outlines. To left bumper, right bumper to activate it, L trigger to, like, hold the shield, left that's bumper rolling. To melee, or yeah, to throw it, and then right, left bumper to, like, shield or swing with it, right bumper to, like, yeah, it's just, there's none of that's lot. Told to you, so you just kind of activate it for the first time, you're like, what does this do?
Yeah. You told me how to throw the shield.
Yeah, and I was like, you get one shield throw, enjoy it.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I liked it overall. I'm really interested to see what more dimension that upgrade point thing that's grayed out on your class build, how that adds. Because I was reading the upgrades, and I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. Yeah. But I really liked it. I thought it was cool. Supercharge time, obviously a little bit of an issue, but we know that was being addressed. And then one thing I posted in the AMA was that I was a little worried about TTK across the board. Yeah. It felt like sometimes there'd be a dude who's facing away from me, doesn't even know I'm there. I get the clear jump on him, unload like a half clip, and then he's just like, oh, I'm going to run away. And then all of a sudden the fight is reset. But as I played more, I found that to be a little bit better because it makes you – in that case, I'd chase after him and then shoulder charge him. So it makes me think about using my ability in different
ways. Before you get the drop and things like that.
Yeah, it just makes you think a little bit more tactically and defensively. Yeah, so I think
any
overall –
final thoughts? We do got to get CJ in there.
I mean, I was getting there.
Sorry.
That was literally five words away from the end, but now we've extended it a little longer.
All right, just finish your thought.
But I like it. It's slower, but more tactical and fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, CJ, your thoughts?
All right, I got 10 seconds, right? No. I would say, I've been here before. This is kind of like Halo 2 to Halo 3. Now, for Destiny 1 players, I think you're going to have a hard time overall because it's dramatically different. And I think Destiny 2 players who've never played Destiny 1 will have a lot easier time. So me personally, I don't think I'm going to be as good at this game. Very different feeling, very different pace. Destiny 1 is etched into my brain as far as the meta and the time to kill. I like it, but people are going to play this game very differently. And some people are saying that.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying like, you know, it was before in between like Call of Duty and Halo. Now it's Halo Reach, Halo 3, time to kill. It's a little slower, and I think people are going to have, you know, a hard time adapting who are, like, big Destiny 1 players.
It definitely feels different. Like, it's a different feel. I don't know if that means you're going to be worse at it. It's going to take time to adjust.
It took me a while to adjust. I personally think that I will be. Like, I remember those, like, hit scan, like, Halo 2 days going into, like, leading your shots with the battle rifle in Halo 3. I know that I'm not good enough to adapt long-term if this is the goal. Like, I've played so much Destiny 1.
It really feels that different to you?
It does in PvP, though, which is what's weird. Not in PvE.
Mm-hmm. I had a few 18.0s and 17.0s. I love it.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love it. But I think there's going to be a lot of people where there's definitely the team shotting and that moment where you have like that 1v1 that you can turn on it and then make a crazy play like in Destiny 1. That is not going to be here as much in Destiny 2.
Well, we'll have to see. Yeah. We definitely want to hit on PvE. Let's talk about the campaign. I think we can all just simply agree that it's a good step forward, good experience. I'd like to see more of what they have to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I was just shocked. We talked about it on the last episode, so I don't think we need to go through it too much. Yeah, but that briefly. They offered more to play, and to me, to repeat it here, like there was all the right stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like there was a pretty cool pace to campaign. I still need to see enough of the payoff with the enemies. You know, yeah. Nobody wants that bullet sponge or the waves of enemies where you feel like not as tactical or smart. Again, I'm always looking for those moments where I can shoot out a shield or I have to get the headshot or, you know, just things you have to do, like actually shooting the fans. Like it breaks it up. So hopefully there's enough of that, but it feels right.
Fans were tricky for some people. Sean, what about?
I really liked the length of the inverted spire, like strike. Yeah. I think that if all the strikes are that meaty, then that's really, really cool.
But story-wise first, what did you think of that?
I mean, like you said, we touched on it last episode, but I think the homecoming mission is awesome. And if there's more of those really like cinematic set pieces where you're working in tandem with the Vanguard and stuff, that's going to be really cool. And from a storytelling perspective, I'm really interested in that. Interesting note is like, we get to play the entirety of the homecoming mission with this, where before with the preview events, it stopped before we got to the final boss, which is cool.
I love the tops and tails.
Yes.
DJ.
They were so good. Yeah. That intro piece too, where you realized, oh my gosh, Shax is here and everybody's, you know, holding on for their lives. And this is the part of like, you know, Amanda Holliday's area and it's all destroyed. That was super cool.
Yeah.
All right. Inverted Spire. I really want to talk about this. So I think I'm in the minority, but I did not like it that much.
Really?
I felt like
what about
the best time that I could get through it is about 22 minutes, kind of rushing. Mainly it's that final boss encounter. The checkpoint system is like, if you are on the final phase, and you die, it resets from the top.
To the very beginning,
and it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, give him full health, but at least put me on the bottom floor.
I don't know. I feel like it should be like that.
It's just a strike. It's not a nightfall.
No, I know, but like
the nightfall, sure, send me back.
If the boss kills you, you shouldn't start.
Well, let's talk
halfway through the boss.
Let's talk about the boss mechanics. So you get to that final encounter. You're fighting him. He's a bullet sponge. He's basically Val's Tark from Year One Destiny, if you remember. My kinetic weapon should not be doing more damage than my secondary weapon, which has elemental damage on it. Especially,
your energy weapon,
my energy weapon, when he is of that energy type, I'm doing like 76 per hit, but my AR is doing 71 per hit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. If, it felt long. I liked it as an opener to like how big it might be. And I think maybe that's one of these strikes they picked.
Multiple phases and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I think they picked something, but like as we saw in Destiny 1, there's just certain strikes where you're like, I don't want to do that one. It's too long. It felt like that was the one they gave us. and I think that's the way we're thinking about it too. It's like, we're going to be going back to this in like a strike playlist probably and all the time. So I would agree with you. I would not want to hit this strike a bunch. Then again, it's the only thing I've played, like, I don't know, 12 times now in the game.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of like, part of it is that effect. We've had nothing else to compare it to or play, you know, a playlist.
So I played through it a ton because I wanted to see the gear system. I wanted to get the full three sets on each class, right? And I hit that brick wall on this particular strike. And it caused some concerns about the loot system. We experienced this in Destiny 1. Basically, you're running the same raid every week. You're on week 20 and you're like, I just need the arms.
Yeah.
Give me the arms, please.
Yeah.
And I was running the strike like throughout the beta. I'm like, I have every piece of armor.
I was surprised it was so stingy.
Yeah.
In the beta.
It was weird. And I'm like, didn't you guys like address this? It seemed pretty good until I got to that last piece. And I'm like, I really hope it's not like this in the full build because it's Destiny 1.
It's hard for, don't you feel like I don't even pay attention to stuff like that when I'm playing a beta because I'm like, all of that's going to change or probably did already change.
Maybe.
I would have thought that too, but it's the same as it was in Destiny 1. You're chasing that one piece of gear. And I did that for three years in Destiny 1. I'm like, really? It's still there in the beta? Come on, you guys.
I agree. There's no new system in place.
Exactly.
It literally is the, I wonder if I'll get it. No, not, oh, finally, it's only going to say, for example, what
that
if it only rolls you the arms you're looking for eventually?
Yeah.
But no, you might get like 7 helmets.
Yeah.
Like the system is still that, right?
Yeah. It's still strange. We don't know if they're going to have a buff system in place where you're like, hey, pop your knuckles in the strike.
Your silver knuckles, everybody.
Yeah. Knuckles of
three of points.
Well, and there could be some of that. Yeah. We don't know like the ammo sand or anything like that, because people were saying they had concerns about not, you know, getting power weapon.
Power,
and everything.
Yeah.
So
there's got to be ammo synth.
I was going to say, like, I wish wish I had more power fighting the boss in the inverted strike because you're right, he is a little bullet spongy. But I did like that even if he's a bullet sponge, a lot's going on around you. Whenever you kill the ads, they leave this little puddle.
And
if you stand on that, it launches you up into the air and stuff. Or like every once in a while, he'll ignite the ground and you have to jump onto pillars. Like I like that because I'd look at my teammates who were very clearly new and they'd be like, why do I keep getting launched in the air? Yeah. And I'm like, it's because you're standing on this thing that's going to launch you in the air. Like, I think the way they've communicated some of the boss mechanics that aren't specifically with the boss in the fight, I think they've done a good job with that.
Phase one was fine. Phase two was fine. Phase three, after his head explodes and he starts running, he'll just aggro on one player and that player's dead.
Also, that little island, that was the other thing is people don't realize, but there's other platforms out that if you can jump to them and lay a Titan shield, like you're good because you can't walk out there. But like everyone.
Oh, really? Over like the pool of.
Yeah, if you jump, there's like two pretty sizable platforms that are off the main little island. Mm-hmm. Just jump out there. He can't walk out there because everyone stands on that little island and he's running around.
Yeah, that's why they didn't see those out there.
Oh, it's so fun.
I ran it 20, 30 times. I didn't know there was a little island on the outside. Yeah, good to know.
There's a little island out there.
Ballista Arc, though, that's a pretty rough comparison.
He is a sponge.
He is. He is a sponge. You were in one small room trying to hide.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Guys, jump on the chandelier. Jump behind the box.
Exactly.
Stay behind the box.
Let's hide in these boxes.
It's the only example I could think of.
It's not that bad.
Yeah,
maybe it's not that bad, but the fact that my elemental damage does the same as a kinetic weapon, both AR. Ours, both one does 71, one does 76.
You're absolutely right there. The one that's my one complaint is like it's going to be really hard for me to wrap my head around the idea of like two primaries or like a kinetic and a secondary or whatever it's called, energy and then heavy power.
Yep.
Yeah, I know it's a beta, by the way. I really hope they tweak it. But it was just concerning because it's the same experience from Destiny 1.
But no, you know, I'm really glad you brought this up. I think we talked about it on the last show. I am still concerned about. For PvE, snipers, fusions, whatever, grenade launchers, it's all like trapped in power. And it's not dropping a lot of power. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what I felt on the strikes where even if there were ammo since, I'm like, why? Like I just have to use, my first and second slot, you know, my kinetic and energy.
Yeah.
But like you're right. Like they don't seem to do enough and he's such a sponge. You kind of needed the sniper, so to speak.
Any boss encounter, for the most part, like everyone has fought a boss encounter where it's like, oh, this is definitely a sniper one. Yeah. Or, oh, this is definitely a rocket one.
You don't have that luxury anymore.
You're pigeonholed into one because they're all in this power slot.
I'm worried about that, actually.
This is where your elemental, though, I think comes into play. Because there's nothing worse than having, like, no sniper ammo in Destiny 1 and then waiting for, like, a 5-minute cooldown.
Mm-hmm. But what do you mean this is where your elemental
Well, because your
play?
Elemental, for the most part, is designed to break shields. That's what it's for.
But what, are you going to walk up to Protheon?
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, the range. So there's a bigger issue, like he's just going to run it. There's a range and impact and all those things. Yeah. So there's a fall off. So from a distance, you're right. There's some times where you'd like some of those things.
Well, it's just you can't do significant sudden damage. Like honestly, like fusion does not do much on Protheon at that phase.
Anything
the submachine guns, like you said, why would I get that close with that like crazy handling?
I mean, I can just use my arm, stomping on you.
You're going to walk up with this thing and he's going to punch you in the face.
You get stuck using the auto or the pulse, basically. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or scout. I mean, like,
or you scout,
have
yes.
to. Yeah, but I know what you're saying.
But scout was so slow, actually, for me personally.
Elemental is now a range game, like, slot in a way for PvE.
I just don't like, you don't have a power weapon that has sustained DPS. That's all. Like, power weapons are for, you know, when you clear all the ads, you knock down the shield, and it's like, DPS phase. Yeah, yeah. Machine guns, black spindle. Like, we don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
That was your, I don't know, did you get a chance to use Sweet Business? So that was the one.
I used it a whole bunch. So I played all the classes a little bit. Sweet Business was pretty good.
But I mean, on like Protheon of that phase would actually be pretty solid, right?
Yeah.
But that's probably one of the only ones you felt pretty.
But you got to move, so you can't sustain fire.
And you'd run out of bullets too.
Yeah.
So you're like, crap.
I actually ran out of ammo a lot.
Yeah. But I feel like at least with that, it can be fixed by potentially having just more heavy drop.
That's what I was getting at.
That's a solve.
That's what I'm worried about is before, you're right. You rely on special and now you're like waiting for the heavy drop and it just doesn't come. The power drop that is.
Yeah. So it could be synth, right? Could the synth cooldown? We don't know anything about that. Like, I mean,
10 minutes.
Please let me bind my synth to the D-pad. That's the only thing I want.
No, yeah. I think that ship sailed.
overall impression of, the strike and the PvE experience as a whole, pretty good. I hope they adjust. I hope they're still tweaking. yeah, tweaking some of the things, the drop rates and such, which they probably are.
Yeah.
They got a ton of feedback from this beta. I'm excited to see what else they have to offer. And what excited me the most that we didn't really talk about was the stuff you weren't supposed to do in the strike, which was explore.
Yeah.
We found a few lost sector things laid out. And if you actually watch the Nessus video, I cut in the same area to show where that lost sector was. And we'll talk about that in just
Easter egg.
That's
right.
So I was like, oh, this area is in the beta. And I have footage of it from our Nessus footage on IGN first. I'm going to just show that.
I didn't even notice that.
I think you actually were the one who even maybe looked at it when we were
watching. I was getting the footage of those marks.
You stood in the pool of poison and you looked. I was like, thanks, friend.
Yeah. But no, I was methodically trying to, I knew we needed that footage of like, where's the lost sector? Yeah. Cause we were just rushing when we recorded that stuff.
Like, you have 30 minutes, go.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah. I put it in the vision piece really quickly too. And I was like, Fran, you're standing in the pool. Yeah. Get out of the pool. The arrows are taking damage.
Dude, we were on such a hurry. Like, yeah. We didn't have that much time to
get. We had two shots of the Lost Sector logos.
I think I got both of them back.
Yeah. they were both great.
Thanks.
So PvE, I will say this. I'm excited about the campaign because that moment where like your light is taken out and the storytelling.
What happens next?
Yeah, that is awesome. Like, I'm super excited to play the campaign. So thinking of strikes versus campaign. Strikes, you know, I was never a strike grinder. A lot of people are. I'm campaign. You like
strike grinder, man?
See,
really?
Strike grinder.
Yeah,
love it. I'll run them once.
Yeah, I am too. At the beginning of the releases, but
yeah, but PVE, like the campaign side of things and raids, like I'm super excited about that stuff. And if that's an indication of what it's going to be like that was perfect. Mm-hmm. From what we saw,
Brent.
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot to still balance out and figure out as we played, but. I already like Destiny, so for me, the strikes, PvP, even though there's changes, like I already know I like that stuff. It feels very similar.
Yeah.
But it's the campaign, that's the thing that stands out for me, and I think that's the biggest thing that they have to prove to me. This is where we spent some significant time. That, like, in other words, yes, the end game, I think it's super important we get the right grind, and technically I'll spend most of my time there, but I'll be pretty happy if I get this really awesome campaign, and it feels like that's the thing they stand to prove the most still.
Yeah, I'm stoked for that. Sean?
Definitely. I'm excited about the campaign. If it is all like that homecoming mission, that'd be really awesome.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted from Destiny 1 was a more cinematic, immersive story with like a beginning and a middle and end. And
well, hey, that's
looks,
what they say in the press release.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Yeah. And it looks to be like that's what we're getting. And then I would love to see more of the – like I want the strikes to be that in-depth. I like that. And I want to see those strikes – explore the universe and the lore in an interesting way. And it looks like that's what we're getting here too. So I'm very excited about that. I didn't play much of anything but Inverted Strike when it comes to PvE.
Awesome. So for our final segment, we're going to try and get through a recap of what we got to experience Nessus-wise and Survival, which we really liked.
Yes.
But I don't know if it translated well to the footage.
Maybe not. Yeah. Because you couldn't show deaths and all that stuff. And so
I had to cut out a ton of stuff, but it was really, really, really
when you
fun.
Say you had to cut, what do you mean?
I mean, it was a request that there's stuff that's not final.
There's just things happening on the screen that we couldn't like
show.
Yeah, they weren't final.
Yeah.
Got it.
So.
But so I loved it. So there's a part of me where.
Was fun.
Yeah. When you had that 1v1 moment. Maybe it's because we were actually sitting in a room with a bunch of people.
Well, can you guys describe it first, just in case people don't totally.
You have a pool of lives. You
eight,
have
eight
seven.
Lives.
Your enemy. You have eight. Your enemies have eight. Thanks, CJ.
Yeah, sorry.
And you try and kill them before they kill you and take all your lives. Because once you're out, you're out.
Yep.
It's like think Gears of War.
Yes.
But in other words, one player can use all your currency if they're really
bad.
If they die. And there's no rezzing, so you respawn. So if you're once you get to four and then you die again, you do not respawn. You're just in death cam mode watching everybody else play.
Down to the last few players.
Yeah. So you're going to have that moment where, if you're not strong on the team, it's going to be who's taking all the lives.
Sorry in advance.
Yeah. But that moment, where you're down to the last two or three people – it's awesome. Yeah. Like my adrenaline was going so much because I was the second last person and last person once or twice. And it was like super intense because you hear everybody and you're like, okay, just wait, he's over there. And everybody's like yelling at you. And so I just envisioning your call outs to Lumbry now.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's closer to trials. We were asking that question of, and we don't know. They've kind of talked about, we'll have something in the game that it will be sort of a stand-in for trials until there will be another trials. Yeah. Trials.
You think this might be it?
And we don't know if
maybe. We don't know if there's another version. Because it's not trials, but it has the adrenaline, as you put it.
Yes.
And I really like that factor. It feels very different, but man, it's going to be a communication game.
Yeah.
I think if you jump in and don't talk to each other, you can get by. You can, but it's going to be a little rough if, like, you really should coordinate. And that was some of the most fun.
Yeah.
Like, let's go to the middle. Let's put up the wall. You can do some deep strategy in there if you're communicating.
And I mean, elimination is not trials. It's the game mode. So the package of what is trials, like the wins and the loot. And if it has that, that would be awesome.
Another IGN first thing, Sean, you saw this, Cold Heart.
Yeah.
What did you think of that type of weapon?
I mean, I just love that they're, one of the things that I wish Destiny 1 did a lot more of was like weapon type experimenting. Like we said on multiple episodes, like, where's our grenade launcher? Where's our Gatling laser? Where's all these other cool things? And now it looks like we have like a beam rifle, essentially, that's a fusion that looks really cool. Yeah.
Not,
they call it a tracer rifle. What is it?
Trace rifle. Not super happy.
Well, what I mean is like from other games.
No, I know what you meant.
Rifle is like the weapon archetype that is. Yeah. Like a sustained single laser.
I wasn't super happy that their first experimental reveal turned out to be a pre-order incentive. I really hope that we see that like in the main game, like other experimental weapon types.
Hey,
and John made it sound like that's going to happen.
At least it's not a PS4 exclusive.
Yes, that was a relief. Everybody's going to get access to it on the 5th. There was also the Kill Tracker Ghost. Everybody gets access to that on the 5th.
Yeah.
It's a shorter window. I mean, I was thankful for that. Like,
I'm pretty sure. I'm very confident you will get this gun, not just having pre-ordered it. It's normally like, now it's going to come out in November or whatever. We don't know.
Yeah.
I'm very confident that's the case.
Right?
It'd be crazy to have a gun like that locked forever. But it just doesn't make sense.
But that little mini feature that you guys cut for IGN first about Cold Heart, man, like it's so cool. Yeah. No, like he was editing it and I was watching him edit it and it's just really cool. I mean, like, I think the weapon archetype is cool. Like, it seems like they're very passionate about exploring new weapon types. And that's what I want to see is, like, I want to see all these crazy cool new weapons, especially if they end up being exotics. Like, what if we get one of my favorite guns ever from all video games is the Gatling laser from Fallout 3. And I'm like, I want that. Like, like you walk slower, but it has like 1,000 rounds and it shoots lasers like at high rate.
That reflects
so cool.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So did you kill anybody with the grenade launcher?
No.
Yeah,
that grenade launcher sucks.
Yeah. You know, get out of here.
We played
Hawk it in the garbage.
Me and James Duggan were playing out in the pit, and we tried it once, and the verdict was, okay, grenade launcher sucks. All you have to do to avoid it, jump in the air, and you are invulnerable to it.
Yeah.
Because there's no way anyone hits you with
it. Splash damage is not big enough. I don't know how many times I tried. I literally had to fire like 4 shots at one dude, and I'm like, well, there, I got the one kill just to say I got it, but I'm not using that anymore.
Grenade launcher. Yeah,
that's an example one that, like, maybe like we saw with some rockets, sometimes it needs a grenade and horseshoes to be good or something. Yeah.
There's some other ones we've seen in trailers
again,
that were better.
In my head, it's just like, okay, this is the type of thing that you use for crowd control in PvE.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In PvP, like with a slow walking Vex, like there's a crowd of them, you're like, oh, here's a perfect time.
Yes.
Because there's no way I miss this group of Vex.
Yeah. You got your one shot.
But I tried in PvP and it did nothing.
No.
Just jump. You're invulnerable.
Yeah.
But we've seen that before too. Like even with shotguns that didn't have high impact, like they were not as useful. You had to use the high impact shotgun. So maybe that's probably what that was. There's probably some super high impact ones, but they gave us the crappy
ones. We're running late on time, but I definitely want to talk about Nessus a little bit while we can. It's this explorable location, Frank.
You
went there in the beta.
I forgot. I couldn't talk about it forever.
Exactly.
Pretending.
Okay, Lost Sectors. Pretty cool, right? You go in, you kick the crap out of a boss, and then you get sweet loot at the end.
Do you get sweet loot? That's the question.
It
they say you do.
Final, but they say it's good.
Yeah. I'm just making the point. That's the most important part to me, that it's going to be worth the trek, worth the time, and it's not just like another mini boss.
I have a question about this, though. Yeah, like, is it... These spaces, like, once you discover them, they're always there. They don't move. They're not, like, randomly spawning. They're not, like, dungeons in Diablo,
you clear them, and they're cleared. That's what it...
One-time thing? Like, another boss won't spawn there, like, next
maybe
week
it's weekly resets. Yeah. Okay.
I think they said it's going to be weekly planet featured. I don't know how that works.
Because, like, my hope for these was they'd be, like Diablo 3 dungeons, where it's, like, it's randomly generated each time. You'll be exploring the world, and one time you see it there, next week it's not there anymore. Yeah. It's in a different spot.
The one we explore seemed to be fairly shorter, but they did say there's some that are really, really long and a longer experience when we interviewed them.
So they're kind of like mini strikes.
Maybe.
They are. That's what it felt like to me, by the way.
You go into a cave, you kill a bunch of guys, you leave.
Yeah. It is.
We were also overpowered, they clarified, in that footage. So, like, we were, like, max light. And they're like, yeah, you're going to tear through these guys.
And that didn't bother me. Yeah. Like, the difficulty. Like, because mechanically, it really is, like, a little mini strike piece.
We weren't max light. I'm just using that.
Honestly, it's like.
I don't want people to go crazy on the internet.
I mean, honestly, for me, it's like in, whatever, in Destiny 1, part of the strike, you'd go into the cave and there'd be like a little major down there. And that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
But it spread throughout the world in a way. And it's designed a little more thoughtfully. That was the only difference I really noticed.
There's roaming mini bosses now just out in the world.
Yes.
Sort of similar to how they would spawn in Destiny 1. But no, you'll be like doing a patrol or public event.
Yeah.
And then those guys will wander in. They'll be like, what's up? It's like, ah!
Yeah. Minor note, I really like how in PvE, majors are more so often than not named nowadays. It just adds a little flavor to the world.
Yeah,
oh, that's that dude.
Storytelling.
Yeah. And Mark knows where they actually said it the best, like unhiding the fun. It's cool now that you see the public event timers like on your map and you can tell where your friends are and your players are that you're with. And so I think it's a huge improvement. Like those are the things that we were really hoping for with Destiny 1.
There's a bunch of stuff they were hinting at too. They're like, oh yeah, you're onto something, but
you
haven't figured it out yet. Yeah. So there's secrets to discover. The mission that we did with Failsafe, that was super cool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we can't spoil too much, but it was just awesome to experience this thing that expanded the lore back to like the ship that crash landed on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we saw the early astronauts that were there on Nessus. Like these are early explorers in the Destiny lore.
That's so cool.
That went
Which
there for
Grimoire do I have to read to see?
Oh. It's all in game now.
Boom! That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
It's all in game.
Yeah, I don't know if there's Grimoire at all, but like there were things in the world that you could inspect and actually they would tell you a little story.
That part of it I really liked because when we were playing it all together and going through that, Destiny 1 was missing that and you felt that, you know, and you were hoping for maybe an update to it where that might happen and it didn't, but that's what Destiny 2 is all about.
Well, I've again said it many times, right? Like I want the Mass Effect treatment. Like, oh, what's this interesting thing? You can click on it and then it adds something to your codex and you can read it and you're like, oh, an interesting piece of lore that I didn't know about. Now I know more.
Well, now it just tells you. Your ghost will tell you about it.
Oh, cool. So it's dialogue, actually.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
cool. Exactly. Like, I thought
we found
there's not.
There's more. Anyway, I guess that's it. Anybody have any final thoughts about Nessus?
Well, just that we didn't really get a chance to, say, travel across the whole thing. Like, if you saw the map in there, like, that's something you sort of unlock as you go.
We were jumping around.
We were bouncing. So I still am not totally sure of the size of it, but it felt pretty big.
It did
feel substantial.
Big.
We didn't get to sort of just ride across and through it, but we'd be bouncing around a really big area. So that I'm kind of excited about taking the full trip.
In the areas, though, I have a question because I didn't get to play this part. Right? Are those areas that you're exploring, are there open world where you can be like, I want to climb on this thing or go this way? Yep. Or is it still kind of like on a track?
For the most part, it's not open. Like you have a path that you have. Well, it didn't feel that way. There were some – we got into one area where we were looking for the lost sector, and he was on top of a thing, and I was looking around in the tree, and you were way over there, and Fran actually found it. So like, there's a lot of space that you can cover.
I mean, it's like Destiny 1. Like, you can be on all corners of the map, like on the Cosmodrome. Like, it's just that,
there's so much
more. It's really big.
Yeah, there's so much more in every little area that you can look at.
That's actually a better way to put it. There's more density to all these areas.
Yeah.
And again, we've only hopped into each of these dense areas. Yeah. So again, like in between them, I don't know for sure.
Remember, but we got like 30 minutes.
And a good way to put it is like, you know, when you go to Mars for the first time in, Destiny. I was like, is it Mars? It is Mars, right? When you go there, it's kind of empty.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that feeling.
Okay. No. Yeah. I guess my question was a bit of a misnomer because like it sounds like this might not be something you were able to answer because you were bouncing around, but like, each zone you could walk anywhere in the zone, but when you move to the next zone, it's like there's clearly a road that you follow to get there.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought broke immersion for me as a player is like you'd be driving along on your Sparrow alongside your buddy, and all of a sudden going through to the next zone, he disappears.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like loading, 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 and then you load in.
Well, I don't want to say anything because we weren't playing a final build.
Yeah, no, like we haven't seen it.
I hope it's a little bit more connected.
But even just being able to tell where your friends are, like there's two little dots on the map that are your teammates. So when you bring up your map, you can actually see where they are.
Oh,
so you
cool.
can see them moving and you can like, you know, spawn at their spot, you know, or close to it. There's a couple areas you can spawn in. So
definitely.
That's really nice. When you get
I'm excited to see more. That's right. Like it was only Nessus.
We need to wrap it up. I want to say one more thing. Thank you to everybody on iTunes who has left a review lately. I'm normally supposed to this at the top of the show, but great podcast from True Gingy, the best Destiny podcast from D Boyle, and Years Later and No Signs of Slowing Down, One of the Bad Kids. Thank you guys for leaving your reviews. We really appreciate that stuff. It it helps bring visibility to the podcast and makes us feel good. And the constructive criticism also, thank you. Of course, we're always open to that.
And even with the beta, I mean, you know, that's what the beta is for. So while we're saying what we like and dislike, I mean, overall, the beta was really good. Like, it was a stable beta. We got a chance to experience a bunch of different things in it, and that's what it's for, right? So, yeah, if you have any feedback, you know, I'm sure you're going to give it to Bungie, and they'll hear it, and, yeah, they'll make adjustments as required.
They'll probably start the game over, depending. I mean, got 30 days to change it. But
we have a plan to reduce WoW references by 5%. So
yeah, exactly.
Working as intended.
What was your final thought?
Radar still sucks, but what are you going to do?
Do you mean snapping like in and out of guns or what?
No, I mean, that's a change too, is you can't – now you, if you're ADSing, you can't just like let go for a second and it pops up and then you can go back.
It's I like it.
It takes
you're
a second.
You're ADS. You're engaged.
No, but the whole still happening. Like – the whole still like – okay. The radar ping is not on the edge of your radar. It's in the middle section not on you.
You're
it
right,
still could be 5 feet or 50 feet. Like, still no clear indication of whether or not it's really close. Or
a lot of people brought up wanting the circles to come back, the little red dots, depending on
just
the character.
Give me the Halo radar.
Like,
like it's so
– No, it's a good point.
It's not
– The radar needs
It's not that it's – it's not that it's like – it's – it's not that it's just useless. It's actively working against me most of the time. Like, it very often misleads me. Like, yeah, I think he's right here, and instead he's over here. And I'm like, wait, why is the radar showing me that then?
We're gonna get kicked out of here, Sean, so I'll have to cut you off. Yeah, but thank you so much. We'll finish that thought later. Guys, thank you for joining us. Thank you, CJ, Fran, and Sean. We got to go. But until next time, Guardians out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.